You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Zlatko Kopjar. He's in Zagreb at the moment. Zlatko, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd. Thank you for having me in your program.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. I know your work has been a variety of things, video performance and photography and constructions. What is it that you're working on now?
I was kind of surprised when I arrived to such ideas, but actually what I'm working on now, but actually it's something I've been thinking quite a long time. And the subject, in simple words, would be, silence and emptiness. That doesn't mean that there is no content, but content is kind of non-visible, or it's not recognizable, and it's random. I mean, there's no any message, anything. And speaking about the form, it will be actually today. I started with it, and a few days ago, with a guy who has to make completely new software for image manipulation. One part of works will be, and I don't know where I will arrive, but will be like concrete objects, fusions made in concrete. And the other part is just I made like 10 steps backward. When 2003 I made one scrambled video when I was at residency by Franklin Furnace for 3 months. Mm. And I showed that video in kitchen for that moment, for that occasion. And actually it's by certain software and by the function, which is my DNA key, I scrambled video, so in the end you have, but now I'm not, and in the end you have abstract video, Of course, I edit there also the sound, and the work is performance based, etc., etc. Now it's different, Now I'm thinking about, I wouldn't say new definition of painting, but it's. I will see where it will go altogether. But I would call it like digital abstract painting. So it will be like one part of the works will be these objects, very geometric objects in concrete and very fine made, very precise. Or combination of more objects, and from the other side will be this, at least one, I hope, more digital abstract paintings.
And explain to me how that will work then. I mean, ideally, you're working with someone who's designing software, and you're talking about making objects that are actually made out of concrete, so I imagine there's some kind of modeling involved. What do you want the software to do? Is that part of what will be the randomizing effect, or what is the software doing?
Well, the last work I made, I made these concrete sculptures, but for that I needed really help from somebody who's into the software for modeling, and so I spoke with one young architect, and actually we had to find drawings and maps and but in the measure of two buildings, which is Tate Modern in the future, because they are building now and finishing that shifted pyramid, cut pyramid, and I believe that they will finish it by end of this year. And the other building is MoMA in the future. I believe that Nouvel made the architect, he made the project, uh, and if I'm not wrong, you know, just beside the MoMA is the Museum of American Natives, or I don't know the proper name, but they have idea to remove the museum and to make a really huge skyscraper, which in drawings and everything in idea looks very crazy, you know. It's very sharp. So for that, you know, I had to ask help of somebody, you know. This time it was young architect, so we had to take measures to render everything. And then after that was quite complicated, you know, to make files, then that on CNC machine to make positives, then to make negatives, and in the end, you know, you have like molds for, you have to make molds from that to make final fusion. This time it will be less complicated. More or less I can do by myself because forms are quite simple geometrically. They are not very complicated. Yeah, but
I want to ask you about the new forms, but to be clear about the previous project you just mentioned, which happened, that was in New York, where MoMA took down a building next to it and put up another building for it. That was, so you created a model of that? Is that what happened?
And then from the model, you have to make mold, you know, negative, you know, in order that you can make fusion in concrete.
Ah, and that was cast in concrete as well.
Yes, yeah.
And so you say the objects are simpler now. We're talking about geometric objects, not so much. I mean, I suppose they could be considered architectural, but we're not looking at architecture or the space of architecture. Or are we? What kind of objects do you plan coming out of this is what I'm trying to understand.
Now objects are simple. You know, if I can explain you as that you make like tubes, but tubes are not rounded. Tubes are like rectangular. And inside the tube, you know, because I make from styrofoam, I make like a structure which is in the middle of that object that English word for all that kind of things, you know. But you have to make like from the wood or something, you know, you have to make like a mold, you know. And the middle of that mold is going, you know, structure which is kind of meandering in all directions. And practically in the end you have kind of a rectangular tube. And that tube, you know, has a hole inside. But the hole, you can't see it, you know. You know there is a hole, but you can't see through the tube. You know that space is empty. And actually, that empty space is a sculpture. But you can't see it, you know. And everything you see is just like carrier of that sculpture. So imagine, you know, that I put more of that tubes all together and I'm creating like a composition. But actually, sculpture is not that what you see. The sculpture is empty space in the connected, empty spaces connected, you know, in composition. They are sculpture, but you can't see them.
Hmm.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but
no,
for different reasons. I'm very interested in this because you know, today everybody has to see. You have to prove always something, etc., etc. And this time, I'm saying, okay, I'm giving you art, but you can't see what it's about. And I say, doesn't matter,
because there has to be a belief does that make sense, that they have to, because we know
also,
for example, in what you just
you
mentioned, that there's a hole within there.
We believe,
have to.
Yes, you have to believe, but actually, I mean, it's logical, and it's before believing, you can say yes. You know, there is an empty space in this let's say in this structure, but I can't see it. You know, it's not about believing, just. You know that it's inside. I mean, it's provable, but you can't see it. That's the only thing. You can't see it. Yeah.
And is that almost like relating to, maybe this is too far back a stretch, but kind of Duchamp talking about non-retinal art, or does that not really quite apply in the same way anymore? He was talking about art that's completely about what you see as opposed to what you don't see.
Well, I would say, you know, that here is completely about what you don't see. And, I mean, you can imagine, you know, pattern is there. And you can imagine it, you know, from one side or the other side of, let's call it tube, you know, rectangular tube. You can see the beginning of the hole, you know, that horizontal hole. But you can't see it completely. You know there is a hole, but you can't see it completely. And, yes, I mean, you know there is there, just you can't see it. And there is, nine tubes together. And imagine that nine spaces, empty spaces inside, and that empty spaces are sculpture, and together they are creating like a combination of empty spaces, which is one sculpture.
That's clear. And it is. It doesn't sound crazy, but it sounds clear to me. And I like that it's difficult in a way to visualize, because we are visualizing something, an object, but we're talking about an object that in itself isn't something that you completely see. So much of it is hidden, is not visible to the viewer.
Hidden. That's correct word. Actually, you see a kind of block of concrete made by different elements, but it's just carrier of the sculpture that is hidden. Yeah, that would be good.
So maybe we should talk about the context a little bit that this is created in. You know, I'm in the United States. I'm also my own practice involves not so dissimilar ideas, but with non-visible art. This radio station is, as you know, has the URL, the Museum of Non-Visible Art, partly because we're talking about things that we can't see, but we have to see in our mind's eye. In the United States, things, as in many countries, things are perceived differently within their own cultural context. You know, the work that I do is I think respected, but at the same time, the notion of a museum of non-visible art seems like it's a joke or a scam or a hoax. There's that too, which it isn't.
I listened to the interview with this previous artist from this Italian guy. Just before we started to speak, you know, I listened all your interview with him, and you know, if you have this problem, or if you have problem that art is, let's say, you know, that is politically engaged, you know, it's quite a problem everywhere, you know, also here. Also,
and so tell me a little bit about that, because I know something about the history of Croatia, obviously, but not very much. So creating the work in that context, as opposed to when you came to the kitchen in the United States and did work here, how is it received there, or is it different because of the political and cultural context you're in?
Well,
I mean, I always find
way,
that.
I had a problem, you know, I had a problem beside Marta Wilson, who really understood, who's director of Franklin Furnace, beside her, who really understood deeply what I've done with the scrambled video, etc., which actually is the same issue, you know, that you can't see. Furthermore, you know, the audio was just one part of one speech in Italian from one of the films of Andrei Tarkovsky, Nostalgia. I don't know if it's a film, you know, but quite at the end of the film, there is Crazy Domenico, who has really prophetic talk, and after that he's making auto de fe. So I put people in a situation that you have kind of prophetic talk, you know, and nobody understands anything, because you have to know Italian very, very well to understand it, to be able to understand it. And the other, you know, but by visual part, you have scrambled video that you can't understand anything. For her, was kind of example of because it is performance-based work, and for her, which I really agree totally, was
for Martha Wilson you're talking about, right?
It was example of maybe one of the first, you know, performances with the, where the body is totally digitalized, you know. But for the rest of the people, also here, you know, count out, you know, it was 2003, you know. And just 2 years ago, some people, I had a solo show in Germany, in Berlin, and a couple of people, they arrived to understand what am I doing, you know. And they appreciate that work. With that work here in Croatia, nobody was never ever interested for that work, you know. Quite never.
And why is that? Is that because your hometown, as they say, never really supports you or loves you the way other places do? Or is there something, why wasn't it received well in Croatia?
I speak about this work. This work in particular, I had problems, well, problems, you know. It wasn't perceived, you know, I would say. And that's why, I don't know, you know, that's why I'm very, but now I see that more and more people, they're arriving to understand what is going on there. And also speaking with some friends, philosophers, etc., they are very interested recently in that. And I see that maybe it's time to go a couple of steps behind, you know, in the past, and to recapture, you know, that all procedures, and to try to put them in the light again, you know. So maybe that's the reason that I'm doing this, what I'm doing now.
The reason you're doing what you're doing now is because you said capturing old procedures, I mean using these old procedures to create different spaces.
No, just I made it time ago, you know, and now I turned back and I said, okay, maybe I could try again, you know, to continue with that idea. That's what I meant, you know. Because in the meantime, I was doing a lot of other things, a lot of other different things. Yeah.
And so we're in, you know, in Zagreb. I mean, I would imagine you've seen an enormous amount of changes in the last 30 years, 40 years, of course. Compared to, you know, the United States, which is where I grew up and I've traveled, but there's also a different relationship to capital, so to speak, to, as I understand it, to money and how the artwork, how art enters into culture, how it enters into the marketplace. Without going into that too much, I mean, when I was in, you know, briefly in Ljubljana and in Slovenia and a few other places, not too far from you, I found that most curators and artists talked very critically of the capitalist system in the United States and of the difficulty of artwork entering into that system. Can you comment on that or talk about how that happened?
Yeah. It is. You know, I've been in U.S., well, in New York, in L.A. a couple of times, and I exhibited, you know, mostly in group shows, etc. But I never tried. Honestly, I never tried hard, you know, to find gallery or something, you know, that I've understood since the beginning, you know, that somehow I'm not fitting, you know, because my work very often is also politically charged, etc., etc. So just I didn't try because I didn't believe that anybody would be really interested, you know. On the other hand, you know, here, we are very open to such issues or discussions, etc. But there's no market, there's no place to put it. You know, I'm speaking about Croatia. But elsewhere, also, I mean, I don't know. Seems to me sometimes that I'm missing something, or I'm not capable, or I don't know how to describe it, to make the work in the way that could find a way, let's say, in, I will call it Western Europe, like Germany, France, etc., or especially in U.S. And you ask me also that you've heard a lot of critical tones regarding capitalism, etc. Yes, you know, we are going out somehow mentally, you know, but that is going very, very slowly from socialism we had here. And that's from one side, that's kind of trauma, because it's becoming more and more clear that you can't go far in such a way. You can't live in like an island. You have to be connected. But in the other hand, you know, there is a huge wish. You know, people are very critical. But in the other hand, it's something like Stockholm syndrome. You know, they want to be part of that. You know, and speaking about last work I made, you know, actually I'm making critique about. Well, I took just examples to maybe the most important institutions in the world, like MoMA and Tate. And how it's happening, how I see it, etc., etc. But on the other hand, you know, of course that I would like to exhibit there, to be part of their collection, etc., etc. So it's pretty odd, it's pretty tricky, you know.
Well, your example there was very interesting too, the Stockholm syndrome, comparing it to that, and I imagine most of the listeners understand what that is, but the Stockholm syndrome is where it's kind of a psychological notion where when hostages are captured for long periods of time, they begin bonding or even having positive feelings towards their captors to the point of almost identifying with them. It's kind of a deluded state.
And I think, you know, I think that like artists from countries, well, not just Croatia, not just smaller countries like Baltic countries, but also I think in Germany and everywhere, you know, just that the point is that system here quite doesn't exist or it's very lousy. Well, I'm speaking about my country. In Poland, I know that is better. I know that it's better in some, at least in Estonia and well, in Baltic countries, somehow it's better. But still here, well,
and by better you mean better in terms of artists being able to sell work and or better in which.
I don't think about selling. Well, I don't speak about that. I speak about connecting, you know, connecting and exchange, you know, that's the point. Mm. Because now or what is working, you know, there are residencies that quite a number of young people are going to New York or elsewhere for residencies, EICP, or I was in Franklin Furnace, or somebody was in Residency Unlimited, Art in General, etc., etc., creators also. But then when we come back here, you know, just you have idea that everything stops, you know, that, and for that you need system. And I don't say, you know, that has to be, you know, something what we are used to have, like government is supporting, etc., etc. Not exactly that, not always that, you know, but more connected.
Well, that makes sense. The type of connection is what's important, and often the idea of sales is a distraction from. But you're talking about residencies and artists finding ways to engage with other artists and cultural institutions.
Yeah. That's the point. Or exchange. You know. Okay. Let's do something. Two institutions are doing in the way that they're exchanging. You know, content. What is the content? You know, content is live art, something what is happening now. Mostly, you know, when I see a couple of our institutions, museums, they're exchanging, like, historic stuff from 50s, 60s, etc., you know. And that's needed, you know. I mean, that's absolutely needed. But it's not that anybody cares a lot about living artist and living art, which is speaking actually about. And furthermore, you know that very well. You know, I mean, you live in U.S. That the situation is, maybe I'll exaggerate a little bit, but situation looks like and maybe I will simplify it. But if you are not, you know, like in one of like, let's say 100 galleries, the most important galleries in the world, you know, that means that everything, you know, further is quite close to you.
That's the idea. That's what people believe, but I don't know if that's true. You're saying that's the assumption that. Well, to me, I think it's like the comparison is, you know, if you're not one of the, because we are talking about, you know, sales at these galleries and the power that they have at art fairs. So to me, it's like comparing if we think, gosh, you know, we'd like to go into business and make money. We're not artists, right? We want to go into business and make money, and we want to be like the 1% in the United States. But if we can't be like that 1% and make hundreds of millions a year, are the doors closed to our business? And, you know, to me, it's a little bit like that. Isn't it okay to make 10,000 a year or 5,000? You know, just like, I know the business world is an odd comparison, but and it is also a kind of awful thing that's happening in the United States with the disparity of wealth. But to me, it's almost the same thing in the art world. Yes, there are these major players that we hear about, but then there's millions of artists, thousands at least, and hundreds that I talk to, who seem to be surviving in various parts of the world, who seem to be finding a way to make a living, whether it's in most cases through teaching or not of their art. Yes. And the friction isn't so great. They seem to have found a way and not think that they're in or out of this system, yet there still is this type of what you call kind of the Stockholm syndrome. There was Rainer Ganahl, who I interviewed on here, represented his country in the Venice Biennial, doing very well, and he said, had a difficulty talking about money, but he said, you know, I'm not making very much money, and I've had things purchased by museums, but artists next to me are selling paintings for obscene amounts of money. And he said, I know I'm not supposed to want money, I'm not supposed to talk about money, he said, but it's very difficult to see the artists right next to me have waiting lists for their art when I don't. So, you know,
somehow, sorry that I'm interrupting, but just remember, you know, one interview, well, a long time ago, Carol Kino, you know, called me and asked me what I think about all the things, you know. And, honestly, I think that, always, of course, you know, for production and everything, you have to find your own way or to see how to work, in which way, et cetera, et cetera, that everything is like sustainable. But also being out of that, let's call it market, you know, it's a blessing situation somehow, because in the end, you have kind of independency or freedom, you know, that you do exactly what you think that you have to do, you know, and not what you think that you should have to do, which is huge difference. And also, discuss of production, you know, I mean, I never believe that if somebody makes 100 paintings, you know, instead of 20, that, I mean, quantity doesn't matter, you know. It's matter, you know, that somebody really, really is dedicated to that. And sometimes market can be very disturbing moment, you know. It's very good from my point of view to don't be hassled by that. If you have to say something, if you have to do something, just do it, you know. Everything else will happen or not, just do it, and always, there is a bunch of people who really, in the end, you know, that they need that. And, you know, in the end, that was absolutely rightful to make decision to make it in such a way.
I agree. Thank you for actually saying that. In closing, it's been great talking about some of these issues. We could talk so much more. I've been asking recently, is there a book you're reading now that you want to, it doesn't have to be related to the art, but just to mention that in closing to our readers and maybe discuss it for a moment, is there any book you're reading lately or material, doesn't have to be related to the arts at all, but anything you want to share?
Well, right now I'm reading like a book of essays from a friend of mine, artist also, about different exhibitions, artists, art, and everything. But, you know, but recently I read, and really I would recommend it to everybody, you know, one beautiful book, again, you know, because it was really crazy that when I find it again on my shelves, and I said, Jesus Christ, I can't remember what was in this book. I just remember that it was beautiful. And that's Sebald, Saturn Rings. It's a really beautiful book. He's a German writer who died like 70s. And yeah, this Saturn Rings is maybe the best book he wrote. Yeah.
Thanks. I'll also put a link to that in this interview so people can find that. I want to thank you so much for talking with me, Zlatko. It's really been a pleasure talking to you from Zagreb.
Brainerd, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.